Lord Jesus, as we come now to hear your word, we ask and pray that you would speak to us, that you would engage our hearts and our minds, so that we might learn, so that we might grow, so that we might become more like you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So we live in a society today that really takes any indication of who a person is by what they have done. Yesterday at the men's convention, we heard that the world's wealthiest man owns as much, or his net worth is as much as our country's national budget per year. And so magazines like Forbes and others are all putting him up on a pedestal and saying, this is an important person. Because our society values status and shows favor to those who have status. In fact, isn't it our purpose, or a lot of what we do in life, is so that our name might be remembered? If you ever put into a position of authority, the first things that you want to do is you want to do something so that people will say, oh, Dion did that back in whenever. And we want people to recognize us. You see, in many ways, it's the whole idea of people must recognize me by what I do. Our society even goes so far as to say that if my good, or the good things that I do, outweigh the bad things that I do, then I'm fine. I'm actually a good person. And how many movies, how many books have been written on stories of people who think that because they do more good than more bad, that they can actually justify the bad that they have done. Now, that's our society out there, but unfortunately, that thinking has pervaded the church as well. And so, as a church, we think that if I do more good than bad, then God will favor me more highly than somebody else. We like to ensure that our name is remembered. And we like to be remembered for our acts of kindness. Oh, do you remember how kind Dion was to me at this particular occasion? And we like our name to be remembered. And again, it's all about my status. I'm better than so-and-so because I've done this and they haven't. Or at least that's our thinking. We think that if I come to church fairly often, that's fine. That's like putting the good tick in my box for this week. And it offsets the bad that I've done previously. Now remember, as Paul is writing here to the Christians in Galatia, they've been confronted by a group of fellow Christians who are now promoting other things other than the gospel. And they are saying that in order to be a true Christian, not only do you need to accept and trust in Jesus, but you also need to do a whole lot of other things. And if you don't do those things, you are not a true Christian. That's what the false teachers were teaching the people of Galatia, and what Paul is writing about here in Galatians. Paul has already explained to us what the gospel is in chapter 1, how Jesus died on the cross for us and how he rose to life again. Paul has explained to us how he was able to oppose those who taught something other than the gospel. And Paul, now in chapter 3, looks at what it means to trust in Jesus. And so I've entitled the talk this morning, By Faith Alone. My first comment that I want to make this morning is faith in the law. And we see this in verses 1 to 5. Paul opens this chapter in rather an abrupt way. Just look at his language there, verse 1. You foolish Galatians. Now, there are many different translations of the Bible, and one paraphrase translation, J.B. Phillips' translation, he paraphrases this verse like this. He says, "Oh, you dear idiots of Galatia, surely you can't be so idiotic." Because that is the focus that Paul is trying to get across here. You dear idiots of Galatia. Who has bewitched you, Paul carries on to say, as if they're under some spell or curse. You see, because what were the Galatian Christians doing? Well, they were starting to believe that in order to be a true Christian, you not only needed to accept Christ, which of course is correct, but you also needed to obey the law of Moses. Completely. There was a mentality that was, as you accepted Christ, you only became a Christian if you also were circumcised or also subscribed to the Mosaic laws, which would have been what food you could and couldn't eat, which would have meant offering sacrifices and so on. And Paul says, stop being so silly. And then he asked them a series of questions. In verse 2, did you receive the Spirit? In other words, did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by works of the law or by believing what you heard? Verse 3, he says, after beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And verse 5, he says, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Of course, Paul's assuming what the answer will be. Because Paul is saying, no, you didn't become a Christian because you did something good and therefore God accepted you. He says you became a Christian because you believed what you heard. Someone said to you, Jesus died on the cross for your sin, you're a sinner, come to Him, ask Him to forgive you, and you will be saved. And the people believed that, and they trusted that. But now they're starting to say, yeah, we know that, but now we must do all these good works, otherwise God's not going to continue to love us. Paul's asking them, what did you do to make Jesus accept you? What action did you do, perform, that made God look at you and not somebody else? And of course, Paul's answer is very simple. You did nothing. You did not deserve anything that God has done for you. That is why Paul says, how can you be so silly? How can you be so foolish to think that we can earn our way into God's kingdom? He says, so why then are you now trying to live by the law instead of by the Spirit? And friends, it's so easy for us to fall into that same approach as well, isn't it? We accept the work that Jesus did for us on the cross. And I don't think anybody sitting here this morning would deny what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Or even deny the fact that we need Jesus to forgive us of our sin. But how many of us think that we need to earn brownie points now with God? We need to earn favor with God by doing other things and not just trusting in Jesus. Perhaps you've seen those social media posts that go around. God will bless you if you send this post on to all the members of your mailing list. Other things, if you don't share this, God won't bless you. Now, I know it's a silly point. And hopefully you understand that that is not how God works. As if me going share on my computer is now going to make God bless me. Friends, that's trying to earn God's favor by sharing an electronic thing. You can see how silly it is. It's pointless. It does nothing. And they play on our guilt. If you really claim to be a true Christian, then you will share this with 7 other people and see God's blessing, whatever it might be. Friends, Paul is saying, how foolish can you be? Our faith in Jesus is through faith, not by sharing some social media post. What utter nonsense, Paul says. Now, we might not worry today too much about circumcision, but what other laws do we place on people in order for God to rescue them? Perhaps, if you're not regular in church, sorry, you can't be a member, or you can't come to this function. Perhaps we say, if you're not helping in the church, then you can't be a true Christian. Or we say, you have to, as a true Christian, you must give to the poor. And we put all these laws, if you like, on people. But Paul says, what utter nonsense. Don't be so foolish. Who has bewitched you that you now think these things will make God like you more? Before Paul goes on to show us how we should have faith in the Lord Jesus, he compares faith and the law. And this is my second comment this morning. Faith versus law. Paul wants to show us how foolish we are if we think that the law or doing things can make God like us more. And he goes back to the primary example that all the Jews noted, and that is of their father, Abraham. If you've been at our Bible studies through the week, you will know that we've been looking at Abraham and looking at Isaac and how Abraham trusted God. For the Jew, Abraham was the way to live your life. And so, hence their focus on circumcision. Because Abraham circumcised Isaac, so they must be circumcised. They said that's what made Abraham right with God. But Paul says something completely different here. He says, verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And verse 8, he even said that in order to show that the Gentiles will also be part of God's kingdom, all nations will be blessed through you. If you know the story of Abraham, those promises came at the beginning of the story of Abraham. The circumcision command was only given 20 years after these initial promises. Abraham took God at his word. There was no law that Abraham had to obey. He left his home and went to a place that God would show him. Hebrews 11, which is an amazing chapter on those who had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, says this about Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed and went. By faith, Abraham made the promised land his home while still living in tents. By faith, Abraham, even though past the age of childbearing, was enabled to become a father. All of that happened before any laws were given. Now, if you look at the story of Abraham, you realize that Abraham also wasn't the goody two-shoes that perhaps we think he is. He didn't try to earn God's favor. In fact, when things weren't happening like they should be according to God's promise, Abraham took things into his own hands. And that's where the story of Hagar and Ishmael come out. And of course we know that that led to huge issues later on down the line. It wasn't that Abraham did what God wanted him to and therefore God saw him as righteous and holy. But no, rather that Abraham trusted God, took God at his word, and obeyed as a result. It's the idea that Abraham had faith in God and not faith in the law. Paul finishes his discussion here in verse 7 by stating that those who have faith are the children of Abraham. So there's the comment that not all Jews are actually descendant of Abraham. It is all Christians who have faith in the Lord Jesus who are the descendants of Abraham. But verse 9 he also tells us, so those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. You see what Paul's saying here, friends? We put so much emphasis on what we do. And we think that because I'm this, because I'm a leader, because I've done that, because I've fed the poor, because I've come to church, that God will like me. But friends, those are just things that we do. And now look, some of them are great. I'm not denying that it's wrong to feed the poor. It's commanded of us as Christians. It's commanded of us as Christians to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ. But we don't gather together to tick the box of, oh, well, good, I've got God's blessing on me this week because I went to church. We gather together because of our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus. We don't earn our salvation. We don't keep our salvation by earning it. We get our salvation through faith, and we keep it through faith. In fact, look what Paul says to us about the law, verse 10 and 11. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. No one who relies on the law is justified by God, because the righteous will live by faith. The Bible tells us time and time again that the purpose of the law, if we could uphold every part of it, would mean that we were perfect. But what the law does, because we can't uphold the law, is it shows us that very thing, that we can't uphold the law. Our country has lots of different laws. How many of them do you and I break regularly? Not on purpose, necessarily. You're driving along the road and suddenly you look down at the speedo and you're doing 140. Oops, I didn't mean to do that, and you slow down. Okay, I didn't deliberately mean to go and break the law, but I have. That's what the law of God does for us. We don't always deliberately set out to break God's law, but we do. And so the law shows us that the only thing that we are good for is to be cursed by God, because we cannot uphold the law. And Paul says, it's the righteous who live by faith, not the righteous who live by God's law. So when we think that if we are saved by faith in God, why then would we think that if we are saved by God through faith, that we now have to remain in God by keeping the law? Can you see why Paul tells us how foolish we are in our thinking for doing things that we think will save us? Now let me just pause there for a moment, because I don't want you to get the wrong understanding here. Paul is not at any point saying that if I believe in Jesus Christ through faith, that I can now live like I want. Paul is not saying that we can continue sinning. He speaks about this in Romans. He speaks about it here in Galatians. He speaks about it in other places. And other writers of the New Testament speak about exactly the same thing. We obey God. We obey God's commands, not to earn His salvation, but because He has given us salvation. James tells us in James chapter 2 that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So, we are not excused as Christians of obedience to God's law, but what Paul is saying is that obedience to God's law doesn't make us a better Christian or more important than somebody else. That's what Paul's getting at. And what Paul's saying is that obedience to the law doesn't save us. We obey God's law because we have been saved, not in order to be saved. Well, let's get back into it and have a look at the third comment that I want to make this morning, and that is faith in Christ. The last two verses of this section. So we've seen faith in the law, which leads nowhere. We've seen what the difference is between faith and the law. And now we have a look at what faith in Christ means. Paul tells us that the solution to our salvation by works is not by doing things, but, verse 13, that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By becoming a curse for us. Verse 14, He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. You see, friends, living as a Christian is about having faith in Him. Not just at the beginning of our Christian walk, but all the time. If all the law can do for us is curse us, and if Christ has taken that curse on Himself by dying on the cross in our place, then why would we think that obedience to the law would rescue us, would save us, would make God like us more? God has dealt with that curse through His Son. We need to strive to have faith in God's Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friends, it's not about me trying to impress God. In fact, Paul goes on about this. Where does he speak this? In Philippians, I think it is. Where he speaks about if I was anybody. In fact, even earlier in Galatians, Paul says that he was an extremely zealous Jew. That he was growing and gaining reputation within the Jewish by the Jewish authorities way faster than his peers. If those things could have saved him, wouldn't they have? But they didn't. It took a special intervention by God to reveal Jesus to Paul that saved him. Paul trusted in God. He had faith in God and what Jesus did for him on the cross. So why then do we work so hard to impress others and to impress God with our giving, with our service, with our social media sharing, or whatever it might be? Why are we more concerned about how people see us than about how God sees us? Why do we only put on a show for God when we are around other Christians? I've seen it. People come to church, they're all good, they use the right language, they sign. You meet them out in the street, and they swear like troopers. And they do all sorts of things that they wouldn't do in church. Why? because they're trying to impress me and trying to say to me on a Sunday that, look, I'm a good person actually. Perhaps I can paraphrase the beginning of chapter 3. You foolish Scotburgers, for lack of a better name. Who has bewitched you? Are you so foolish? Friends, we need God's help here because it's so easy to fall into this work-based salvation and to think that our works will make God like us more. Let's pray and ask God to forgive us of that. And let's pray and ask God to help us to live by faith in Him each step of the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've come before you this morning, Lord, as we've been rebuked by you through your word of how often we tend to put things ahead of you and think that those things will make you like us more. Lord, forgive us for our thinking like that, whatever it might be, Lord. Forgive us. But Lord, we also ask and pray that you would help us to truly trust in you and to realize that our salvation comes through faith in you alone and not through faith in our works. So Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to live for you and to obey you because of what you have done for us. And we pray this, Lord, in your name. Amen.